It is 3 o'clock, and you are right here ready for Arts Live and Local. And that's because we have so much activity in this area and because we have so many fabulous artists in this area. And today's show, I think it was that last week? It was all music, yes. And today is all visual artists. So we're making up for everybody. Everybody can be happy. Well, I do have some music to start with. I would like to send out a couple of pieces in this show. And one of them is just bringing peace. And this is particularly true for my heart, especially right now, but always in the Middle East. Thanks for being here, folks.
Shalom.
That's Rabbi Aryeh Hirschfield with Wings of Peace, Ufros Aleinu, which is something that we sang down by the river yesterday for Tashlich. We were trying to make way for a new year, open up the spaces, and give ourselves an opportunity to do better. Either do more or do less, whatever it takes, omission, commission. So a happy new year to everyone. And let's all be working for peace, including informing our senators and congressmen what we want them to do or not do. I'll say no more. Well, my first guests are here, and we've already been partying because we have a couple of party animals here. Well, at least one. And the other one is used to be, but she's calmed down a little bit. Isn't that true? Mm-mm. No? Oh, no!
Yeah,
oh, my gosh.
I didn't get that
impression. All right. You didn't get that impression. Well, my two guests are not actually showing together or doing, I don't know what they're doing together, but they're sitting here together.
Communing.
Is this the first time you met?
Yeah.
Oh, for goodness sake.
He's my new friend.
I had no idea. Oh, I love it. I tell the audience all the time, I love when artists meet out there, but I didn't. Mm-hmm. You guys were talking so comfortably. I thought you'd known each other for years.
Yeah,
this
that's
is
the
wild.
Idea.
Yes, it is.
Friends
so,
forever.
New best friends. Mm-hmm. So my two guests are Sheila Brown, whose voice you heard first, who is, I'll tell you right now so I don't forget, she is the featured artist at Trails End Gallery, which is in Gearhart, 656 A Street in Gearhart. It's that building you can see, but you don't know how to get to. So just figure it out. It's well worth going to. And Trails End is, because it's in Gearhart, it seems, they have their openings linked with the seaside first Saturdays. So Trails End will be 3 to 6 tomorrow, and then Seaside is 5 to 7. And Sheila, I'm going to let her tell you what she does, but she has done in her past, well, I won't tell you all the details, I'll just tell you in the art field, okay? Pottery, graphic design, professional illustration, murals inside and out, colored pencil. And you also play with the palette puddlers, don't you?
Yes, yeah. I do.
Okay. So, but right now you're focusing on what I know best and love, which is your lino block printing. Is that what we're going to see at the
it is.
At the show?
Yes.
Okay. Let me introduce the other voice because I know he's going to be speaking up. Because
I can't stand it
he's
any
just,
longer.
He's that kind of guy. Scott Johnson is here with me, and he is artist in residence with the Tolovan Arts Colony, which is the first time they've done this, and we're going to see how it's working here.
Well, I have to behave myself.
You do, yeah, kind of. Well, you know, when you're having a virgin experience, not being on the radio, you've been here before, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Both of you have. So, but your virgin experience is being the Tolovan Arts Colony's first artist in residence. So things need, you know, kind of tweaking, probably, I just assume. So Scott also has a bevy of visual arts that he works with, watercolor, drawing, and I'm going to let him explain what this is, mark making, and I'm presuming.
Yeah, drawing and mark making, and there seems to be a little bit of a difference. If you were to Google mark making, you're going to find a lot of like dashes and dots and scratches, and it has a little bit more. It can be approached a little bit more as an abstract form of art, and drawing in some ways can be a prerequisite to painting. But in this case, mark making is a form of art that many people have adopted. A couple Oregon artists that I can think of for sure.
What material do you use for mark making?
Oh, usually it starts with charcoal or graphite. You're just like dragging a pencil around or the charcoal, and then you smear it, and then you can actually it's a wide enough range subject that you can start adding any kind of medium on top if you want. So
is this something that would be good for beginners to work on, or
right.
or does it just look as though it would be good for beginners, but it's actually harder than it looks?
The whole bevy of classes that I'm offering at Tolovana Artist Colony from Wednesday through Saturday is meant to build a holistic approach to art for an artist in that there's definitely introduction to watercolor, there's the drawing and mark making, and then there's
photography. That's a whole, because I sort of think of photography as a separate field.
If you think about like the university, the old days of the dark room and the whole bit, you know, and learning how to spot things. Right, and right about now, we're
digital.
All digital, and we're just playing with our iPhones mostly, and getting some neat shots. And the idea about that is to formulate a better eye for a composition, and just not be afraid of the camera and just shoot at will and see what you can find later on.
Okay.
It's all about editing and the support of having somebody else that's also a photographer and what they can, you know, offer you as an eye.
So are some of the students doing the whole gamut?
I have a number of students that are interested, but August has been just a flurry for most of the locals of the Cannon Beach, Tolovana area, and then there's a number of second homers that also were pretty busy, and so I have a feeling that we're going to have a pretty strong fall.
How long will you be in this position, or what will you be offering?
Through November.
Through November.
Yeah.
Okay. Wednesday through Saturday.
Yes.
And this is at Tolovana Hall, which is
almost to the end of Hemlock. There's a children's center right across the parking lot from us, and it's a hall that's been there since the 20s, and it's just gotten remodeled and restored and repainted. But
I read about that.
It's rather nice, but it is fairly invisible, so I've got my little handmade sign I put out on the street.
Oh, I love this. We have the Trails End Gallery, which is very visible, but you have no idea how to get there. And now you have Tolovana Hall, which is not even visible.
Right. The next thing is a bonker, you know, that just gets people on their way through. Hey, there's art, dummy.
Yeah, really, really. Art lives here.
Yeah. Save my life.
Food here, art here. Right, there you go. So, So this is for any range. This is beginners or artists already?
I mean, I actually had somebody who broke my rules, and I was supposed to start at age of nine, but she lied about it. She was only six.
She lied about her age.
Yeah, her grandma lied, but I definitely suggest children. I was just at the Art in the Pearl this last weekend, and you couldn't believe how many aged children there were watching me as I was playing with the kids with watercolor, because they just walk right up and just go, "What are you doing? Yeah. Can I paint?" You know, and
that's great.
Yeah,
so. Unless you're really trying to paint, in which case,
It's
a little challenging.
Well, but the thing is that you can definitely, if you don't look at a child as being not knowing, they're going to jump to the front of the class away.
Yeah. Sheila and I are both shaking our heads. Yeah, absolutely. And it's so exciting to reach children before they become inhibited.
Yes.
Which is what some of us non-visual artist adults are. It's like, no, I can't do that. So, Sheila, I was wondering, are you familiar with mark making, the term?
Or? I have a friend who does that, and I was so impressed by his work. I've been following, he lives nearby, and I've been following what he's done. And he's the only one, until now, that I knew who did that. Wow. And so, yeah.
This vaguely is good. Familiar. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is opening things up.
And mm-hmm. I like it very much.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very expressive, and you can just allow your mind to just drain onto the paper that way. And, you know, and after you've just scratched out some things, you can just start to let it develop and let it bring it to something if you like.
I want to see some of this because I think something was done up at the college at one point, but I'm not sure if that's what it was. And sometimes they took rollers also. And would that be? Do you ever use tools or mostly?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Sticks and kind of thing you can drag through there, splatters.
This sounds great.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Fun, too. So how do people find out which classes are when?
Well, they can go to the website for Tolovana Artists, Tolovana Arts Colony, .org or .com, and there'll be a little thing that you can click on for classes and scroll down. There's all sorts of things going on there besides what I'm doing too.
Oh yes, so. They have tremendous, and I do believe it's .org because they've had fundraisers. It's wonderful. That was begun by two of our beloved Cannon Beach, Billy Holtz and Michael
Burgess.
Uncle Mike, and we're there. Who used to have a column on the radio.
Ask
actually.
Uncle Mike.
Mm-hmm. Those two were just superb human beings. They used to come up together and sit here, and they carried on quite a bit too. But they did know each other for a long time.
So everybody gets teary eyed when they talk
about
those guys.
Absolutely, but the best tribute that we can make to them is to keep this organization going, keep the arts going. The concept of we've got so many fine artists of different kinds in that Cannon Beach area. Let's get them going. Let's make them work and get them paid and give everybody their art instead of, you know, just bringing in outside.
And that is where healing comes from and where growth and courage I find really is fostered and nurtured through doing art, being creative.
And I think the first time I saw you, you were on the floor. I think it was Whitebird, is that?
Yeah. What was I doing? Showing somebody some
you were.
Body rolling
thing or something like that? You were showing paintings and you were. And
no break dancing,
I
right?
I loved it. I loved your stuff. These are two artists who I assume they knew each other because I know both of them and really like very much both their work. That was the first time and ever since then. And now I have one of your little...
Yes, one of the little babies.
Little wee ones. I love miniature that way and detail, which is what Sheila does. So had you seen Scott's work?
No.
Okay, and you...
I have now.
Now you have, because I even...
Mm-hmm. So we were fondling this stuff out.
We shared
on
the sofa.
Oh, that's lovely. Right here at Coast Community, your community radio. Yeah. See what goes on here.
Ba-bum-bum.
So, ba-dum-bum. Sheila Brown. So, Sheila, tell us, are you still doing other art forms, or are you really focusing on the block?
I focused on the block when I first was invited to join Palette Puddlers in Cannon Beach, which was maybe 4 years ago. And just like a year ago, I thought I would like to start doing some more watercolor. I had done some before. And so for a year, I've been fooling around, still doing the linoleum block prints and not getting the watercolor on them. But it's something I'm working toward.
So the idea is to use watercolor on your prints.
Yes.
Ooh. Well, you do sometimes put a red dot here.
Yes,
there,
I do. And that's a separate brush. It's not a block that I've carved. It's just a little brush.
So it is a brush that's added.
Right.
On.
Yes.
So you're started. You see, you
well,
started.
Yes,
because the watercolor, the watercolor would be that process, right? You would do the okay.
Yes.
Tell
well,
us.
No, the no. watercolor would be more in the white areas. It wouldn't be. Well, that was a white area too, but I don't know.
Okay,
I
well.
Can't answer.
That's why it hasn't happened yet. Yeah. When it does,
we will know.
Yes. So tell us a little bit about linoleum block printing. I think that's been done forever.
Forever.
Yeah.
They were making battleship linoleum many, many years ago. I'm sorry, I don't know how long ago. But when we were building battleships. And this gray linoleum turned out to be a wonderful medium for carving and making relief prints. So now you can buy it in art stores, art supply stores, that has a backing, a wood. It's glued to a piece of wood.
Right.
So that really helps to preserve substance. That carved linoleum because it can break very easily as it gets older.
And you do large work?
I have done.
And so, for example, with your cards, mm-hmm. I have art to show you, folks. If you look into your radio very deeply, you will see one of Scott's paintings and some of Sheila's cards. When you do the cards, what is that? You take a picture of the larger work and then reduce it, or
yes,
yeah, mm-hmm. okay,
yeah, with a photocopy machine.
Okay, mm-hmm. So the originals are the larger
yes.
ones.
Yes, the okay. ones I've been doing for the past few years are around 8x10 original size.
And what are you painting? What are you carving? What inspires you around here?
Because
I know
nature.
Live,
yeah, my cat, who I include in nature.
Yes.
I have the bough picker in Astoria. I have him commemorated. And Big Red out in the river. Mm-hmm. Things that I like.
Mm-hmm. Local, mostly?
Mostly. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now, apropos of what Scott said about the children coming up, you are not going to be doing a demonstration? Or
I am not. Unfortunately, that information didn't get to everybody, but it does say that in the paper. But I will be bringing my tools and a carved block or two to see what it looks like after it's carved. And I can do motions with it, but I don't want to get the ink involved because then it's just going to take all my
focus, right?
Yes, right. And I won't be able to speak with people
That way. And that made sense when you mentioned that, is that you're there as the artist and people can look at your work, ask you questions, but if you're working on something, that takes away the whole...
Yeah, yeah, and I cannot do more than one thing at a time.
I see. Scott, what about you?
I actually, it's funny because I'm forgetting many more things, but I'm also... I think because of that, I'm also able to multitask that much more, and so I find myself juggling a lot of things, and I love painting while I'm staring at somebody and talking to them, so it's never a problem. I'll be demonstrating for the Saturday, almost the whole Saturday of the Stormy Weather Arts Festival.
In November.
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm back to doing the quick draw that night, Friday night. So I took a couple years break, and now I'm ready for a new tack on it.
And you also are inspired by nature quite a bit.
Oh, indeed. It's everything to me. I did go through a long period when I was younger of doing a lot of cityscape painting.
Oh.
And they were all wobbly buildings.
Okay.
And,
were the buildings wobbly or your paintings?
It is watercolor, so they're very wobbly.
Okay.
But the buildings were definitely swooshy and wobbly, and yet there were lots and lots of windows and whatnot.
Mm.
But I kept feeling like I was interested in going back to something a lot more meditative and calming. And and nature always called to me, and I early on I found myself outside doing a lot of plein air painting, and it was awesome. I mean, I back then I didn't drive; I had to take a bus all the way out to Powell Butte or all sorts of places, And I was just so dedicated to painting outside, and that's how I was taught to paint watercolors.
Are you teaching plein air as well?
We have plein air on Saturdays.
Oh,
it
okay.
starts at 10 in the morning and runs till 3 in the afternoon.
So, folks, take advantage of this man. He's fun, too, as you may have noticed.
please.
Wednesday through Saturday, all the way through November, at Tolovana Hall. And go to tolovanaartscolony.org or just Google it if you want to get more of a schedule. And there was something else, the combination in terms of working. Oh, I wanted to just get a background that you've been making art forever, since you were a child? Or did you?
Indeed, yes. Ever since I was a kid. I mean, I was never identified as ADHD, but I'm sure I was, because I was doing poetry, I was playing music. I played music for like 20 years. I studied trumpet, and then as I got to be 20-something, there was a step forward in music, or there was a step forward in art, and it was a one-day process, and I just jumped right towards art and set down the trumpet and went back.
Do you know why?
For one, my kids kept smashing the trumpet into my lips, and it would really set me back a lot. For two, they would go to bed, and then I'd find myself
not wanting
playing into a box with a pillow with a mute, and it felt like my head was exploding. So
not very practical.
Right?
There you
no,
go.
Not at
Thanks,
all.
Kids. Okay. Well, I'm glad you. I'm glad you kept one of them at least. I mean, this is good.
And, painting is so wonderful.
Especially
good for the heart.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, and good for those of us who are looking. Sheila, what's your background?
I grew up wanting to use colors, paints, pencils, anything. And I grew up in the Redwoods in Northern California. We camped and picnicked outside under those Redwoods for years. Yeah. All my cousins and aunts and uncles
my
parents.
Talk about plein air, huh?
I didn't do a lot of art outside when I was that age. But as soon as I got into high school, there was an art department, and I could take the art classes, or the art that some of the teachers would do in elementary school was nothing really, and it didn't interest me.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is why it's so important that we give back and make it exciting so that kids will respond, because we know how important and wonderful all of the arts are.
Yeah.
So all of these different forms, did you just, and including pottery, and now the linoleum?
I made my living at pottery for 7 years when I lived in Oceanside, Oregon, west of Tillamook.
Okay.
And my rent was $65 a month, and I had a view of the ocean.
And you got to eat at Rosanna's all the time.
No, it wasn't open. That was the grocery store.
My goodness. No, but I'm thinking, well, sure, you could pay your rent because, you know, $65 a month. Mm-hmm. You know, how many pots is that?
But, I remember those
that's great.
Days.
Yeah, really,
those
really.
Were the good old days.
Well, let's let folks know again, tomorrow is first Saturday Art Walk in Seaside from 5 to 7, but what you want to do, wherever you live, is start out at Trails End Gallery, 656A in Gearhart, and a visit with, and there's lots of other stuff at the gallery, of course.
Yes, yes.
They have lots going on there, too. But they're their own world. They're in their own world there in Gearhart. And that will be from 3 to 6 tomorrow, and check in with Sheila. And then with Scott, just check his schedule and figure out what you want to do or whether you want to. I love the idea of being able to try a little of everything. And and the fact that one person is doing this and doing it well is very inspiring, because, again, folks can say, I don't have to make a decision now, like only do this or only do that.
Right.
And your history, too. So. Mm-hmm.
It's a drop-in basis, and we actually do have scholarships, too, in memorial of, I forget who it is, mm-hmm. but somebody, if they want to just dabble, they can take 5 classes with Tolovana Arts Colony.
Wow.
Under scholarship. They have to apply, of course.
Right,
and
right.
They will find that information also on the website.
Right. Okay. Fabulous. Thank you both so much.
Yes.
I'm delighted
sure.
that you've met each other. There are even folks, they're even dressed alike.
Yeah.
You wouldn't believe this. It's really...
Happy Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
Tales Inn does have a...
website?
A website.
Okay.
Yes.
What is that?
Yes.
It's just like... Trails in right. Art Center.
Dot, dot, dot.
Okay, and you can again Google Trails End in Gearheart. Mm-hmm. It's the only one.
Mm-hmm.
Gearheart, Oregon, that is. Okay, thank you so much, Sheila Brown and Scott Johnson.
Yeah, you're
thank
welcome.
You, Carol.
Okay. Thank you.
And this is Coast Community Radio. We're celebrating the arts in the visual world right now. But I also have a record lined up right here from... Victor Jara, because I just heard on the radio that his family is suing the person who actually murdered him in 1973. And this is a Chilean musician and leader and beloved person. And I would be one of the millions who would love to see justice served. The murderer lives in the United States. Here's Victor Jara.
Yo pregunto a los presentes si no se han puesto a pensar que esta tierra es de nosotros y no del que tenga más. Yo pregunto si en la tierra nunca habrá pensado usted que si las manos son nuestras, es nuestro lo que nos dé. A desalambrar, que la tierra es nuestra, es tuya y de aquel, de Pedro y María, de Juan y José. Si molesto con mi canto alguien que no quiera oír, le aseguro que es un gringo o un dueño de este país. A desalambrar, que la tierra es nuestra, es tuya y de aquel, de Pedro y María, de Juan y José. A desalambrar, que la tierra es nuestra, es tuya y de aquel, de Pedro y María, de Juan y José.
And that's Victor Jara. That's J-A-R-A. If you'd like to listen to more of his music or find out the story. That was during the time of Salvador Allende. And we are here on a beautiful day in Astoria, Oregon. And it is September 6th. And I'm very happy to be here celebrating and sharing the arts with you. Now, I made a promise I couldn't keep. But I know you'll forgive me because I have a treat here for you. Carl Kaiser is here, and he is opening tomorrow night, right? Oops, there.
Yeah.
There we go. And he, at the River Sea Gallery in Astoria, that's right on Commercial in Astoria, this is their first, what do they call it? Do you remember what they call, because instead of just, because your work will be there
for Saturday, I guess.
For second,
yeah,
the second,
right.
This is the first artist, so this is an introduction to Carl and his, the other person who will be there, Laura Buchan or Buchan, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, was not able to come in, and so I'll just tell you what she is doing. And I love this word. I presume it's a real word, biomorphic forms sculpted in wood, and translating animal and plant forms into large wood carvings. Biomorphic. Are you familiar with that term?
Well, I've seen her work, it's really cool. So it's what she does is parts of it is like animal form and parts of it is plant form, and morphed together.
Okay.
And she does a really cool job of carving it into one piece. Some of them are big.
Okay, yeah. So it's an actual sculpture.
Yeah, wood,
okay.
Out of wood.
It's not,
yeah.
It's not like we were just talking with Sheila about linoleum prints.
Right, no.
So
these
this
are
is
sculptures.
Actual sculptures.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now Carl is doing, I'm not sure whether these two works, but it sounds like because yours is also out in nature.
Mm-hmm.
This has been amazing. I think today was organically formed without my even knowing it. Abstracted landscapes, but you do encaustic.
Right.
Is that
yes,
right?
Yes.
How big is your work?
The biggest pieces that I've been doing, and the ones that are down the show, are like 16 by 48. I've done some like 24 by 48.
Encaustic?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I don't understand.
So, yeah, I have a few of those down there, and then some of them are smaller pieces. But, yeah, I can do...
Can you please explain to us what encaustic? Because I thought I understood, but I can't even imagine that you can make such large pieces.
Yeah, so encaustic's been around for a couple thousand years. Mm-hmm. The Greeks were using it. They first originally started painting their ships with it to seal from water. And then
that makes sense.
They figured they could add pigment to it, and then they started painting, and they painted portraits, which are still around.
So when they put it on ships, was it just a layer of wax?
So it's wax and resin, and the resin is damar, which is just sap off a damar tree. So you add the damar to the wax, and it brings it up to a higher melting point. The more damar you add in,
okay,
and then you got to strain it because with the damar, there's a bunch of bark and stuff in there.
And where does one find a damar tree? I've never heard of it.
Yeah, well, so that's in Africa, and I think a little bit of India. They might have some too.
Okay,
and so they harvest the sap off that, and it's used in all oil paints and damar varnish is made from that.
Okay,
so it's been in the art world for.
Right.
3 years.
Right. So it's not a family name. It's the name of an actual
tree. Right, of a tree. Yeah,
never
yeah, yeah.
Knew that.
So it's just a sap. So So the more damar you put in, the higher the melting point is. So the way I make it is the melting point's about 180 degrees, but I usually keep it about 220 to make it really liquid so I can paint it with a brush.
Do you put the – when does the color go in?
So I put the color in. I actually make up my own – so I get dry pigments. I have pigments from all over. Some I picked up when I was in Germany from my aunt that picked it up in Italy herself.
So it's a powder?
So it's just a powder dry pigment. Like you'd make, if you're going to make your own acrylic paint or your own oil paint, any kind of paint, it all starts with the dry pigment. So,
okay, and so we're not talking about... beetle shells or things like that.
Some of it can be, yeah. I mean, that's...
So it can be from the natural
world. Right,
some
of it is, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, right. Like the stuff I picked up in Germany was all ground pigment, like from... it was actually southern France that they pulled it out of the ground there. So,
okay.
So it's like a lot of earth tones, that is. And then like your CADs and stuff or manufactured more, but it's still a dry pigment. Yeah, yeah.
So you get the dry pigment, and you buy the...
I'd buy like 50 pounds of beeswax at a time.
Oh, my.
And then I mix it up in like three-pound batches. So I had 3 pounds of wax.
Smells good.
It smells really good.
Yeah, thickened beeswax.
Yeah,
wow.
Right. And then you add the damar. And then I put in different kettles and then add pigment to it. So I get my different colors, and then I blend my own colors. And
so, by the time you paint it on, you are painting on colors,
right?
So
yes.
Okay.
Although, like on some of these, you'll see down at Riversea, there'll be the background will be just pure beeswax and resin, so it'd be kind of like a honey color almost, and then the colors will go on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
So some of those will be like that. And then other ones, you'll see the pigment all the way through. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Boy, I was so off because I have a couple of encaustic pieces. I find there's something very luscious,
yeah,
warm, and it just feels like.
Yeah, and they're great to touch.
Yeah.
I mean, they're, yeah. And it's like I encourage people to touch them, actually, because you can buff out any fingerprints.
Okay, so
nice thing,
I thought it was a painting, and then you put the wax over it.
Yeah, I mean, there's people,
people that have done that.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, people use encaustic for a lot of different things, and they call it encaustic, but then it's really a mixed medium. You know, if you're using...
True, of course. Yeah.
But
yeah,
they still label it as encaustic, whereas mine's just... pure encaustic.
Right.
And then some of them are built up like up to 100 layers and then carved back through.
100
Yeah. And then you'll see some down the show where I've taken that layer and that strip and cut a strip of it off and made it like the horizon line. So you have you can see all the 100 layers.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah.
Embedded in this wax.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's like being in an old building and being
able
to see, you know,
where there's
a window and you can look at all the layers.
Yeah.
And doesn't this cost you a fortune if you're making big paintings and using beeswax?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that was that, folks. Go see the art. You might be able to afford it. I don't know. I haven't checked the pricing, but we're not going to talk about that.
I was able to keep prices lower because I build all my own supports, make my own medium. Whereas, you know, if you buy it pre-made with colors in it, but there is no way I could do big pieces that way.
Right.
I'm able to order like a pound at a time of pigment, you know, and pounds of damara at a time and 50 pounds of wax. So it saves.
Are there many people doing what you're doing?
Not as far as that many layers.
Yeah.
Most people aren't, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I haven't really seen it. So.
But do a lot of people start from scratch?
The people that do big pieces.
Do.
Yeah.
You have to.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So I am looking right now at this piece here.
Right.
And is that the full piece as opposed to a detail?
Yeah, okay. That's a full piece.
So... Because I've been influenced by my last two guests, but I'm kind of seeing trees in here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you, because you said earlier, after the battleships, then people realized and they started painting portraits and other things.
Yeah.
What kind of content do you usually?
As far as?
Like nature.
Oh,
things or
so,
scenes.
Right. So... I kind of started
out.
Yeah, it's gone more abstract, but it is definitely all veers back to nature.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
I really started out in photography and then went into acrylic painting. And the acrylic, I was really figurative at first and then started going more abstract. And then realized I could even do more with encaustic. And I've been doing that for about 8 years. And it's more of abstract, but it's also taken from, it all originates with kind of the close-up photography I've done, looking at stuff, either trees or leaves really close, you know, where you get the layers and vegetation. And so it all goes back to the natural.
How did you, you said 8 years ago, so how did you get into encaustic?
Took you there? I was... out on an art walk in Portland and ran across Linda Womack, who's written a couple of books about it, and took a class from her. It was just like the next day I went out and bought all my supplies.
Gah,
and was like,
I love it.
Yeah.
It, you know, it's exciting. I'm sure it was extremely exciting for you to just pop
something new that really spoke
to you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And it gives me a little bit, and I've been going a little bit more three-dimensional way, and I might even start doing more sculptures with the encaustic too, which you can do.
So when you say three-dimensional, you mean what you were talking
about
before?
Yeah, because mine kind of pops out.
Yeah, I really want to see that.
Yeah.
So Where do you live?
In Portland.
You live in Portland. Okay.
Yeah, I live right smack dab in northeast Portland, right by Mount Tabor, if anybody knows
beautiful.
Where that's at.
Yeah, beautiful. That can be inspiring for scenes. Is your studio there, too?
Yep. My studio is a full basement of the house.
So. Do you actually do the cooking right there, the cooking of the wax?
Yeah. I have it well ventilated. Yeah.
Does it attract bees ever?
It has from, but we have our whole yard's full of flowers. We don't have any grass.
Oh, good.
So it's all full of flowers, so the bees love it out there.
Yeah, tell
so
them to go over there, stay away from the, do you have a day job?
Artist, yeah. I'm artist. Down the studio, yeah. That's
good
my day
you.
Job.
Good
yeah.
That's fabulous that you're able to do
it. Yeah, I retired 2 years ago from my day job. I worked 26 years for Cascade Corporation, which was a manufacturer of lift truck attachments in Portland.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
you were making art all that time.
I was making art
for Sanity
in the evenings.
As well.
Yes, yeah. And my wife finally said, "Why don't you retire all that and work on the art full time I can see you on the weekends?"
She did have her motives.
Yeah.
I see. She's
right, here with you now too. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So why? What is it that drives you in art?
Oh, you know, it's really, you know, every morning I go out for a walk or a bike ride or something, no matter if it's raining or whatever, and take photos. And I don't know, it's just something within me it's always been there. You know, even as a kid, I always drew. And in high school, I started taking photos. And then the more when we were married, we started traveling to Europe. And I have an aunt that's an artist over in Germany, and met up with her, and her house is just like full of artwork.
Mm.
And she does like clay sculptures, paintings, prints, everything. So I just totally fell in love back with that. And I started taking classes again through the community college.
Did you at some point though realize, hey, I'm good at this. I can do this.
Well,
or was it just I really
enjoyed it.
Other people
were saying, well, you know, this looks really good.
Okay. There you go.
So,
and do you show in Portland as
well? Yeah. Attic Gallery carries my work.
Okay.
And it's right downtown, Southwest First.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and Carl is showing at Riversea Gallery this month. And the opening is tomorrow evening, the 7th. And, oh, my, did I not write down the time?
I think it's 5 to 7.
5 to 7, okay. And then, of course, next weekend will be second Saturday in Astoria. And so we will have an opportunity. Are you going to be able to come back up for that, do you think? I don't know.
I'll see, yeah.
Yeah, you'll be here tomorrow night
for sure, though. Yeah, yeah.
And probably give a talk as well because that's what that's what you get to do here. So good. And hopefully Laura, B-U-C-H-A-N.
She'll be here, yeah.
will be here with her wood sculptures, her biomorphic wood sculptures. So it should be a delightful time tomorrow evening in Astoria on Commercial at the Riversea Gallery. Carl Kaiser, thanks so much for coming in.
You bet.
It's great to see you. Now you reminded me we met before.
Yes.
So do you get to Astoria much? Or
as much as possible.
Okay.
Yeah. We love it up here. So
Good.
Oh, and I have one more plug.
Sure.
So Portland Open Studios, the first two weekends, or the second and third weekend of October, and I'll be part of Portland Open Studios, so you can come by and see my studio if you want.
Okay.
So, and there'll be brochures at Riversea Gallery for that.
Oh, good.
So, yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, how does people find you? We know you're near Mount Tabor.
Right. And you can just Google Portland Open Studios, and it'll come up. So,
Portland Open Studios. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming in, Carl Kaiser from Portland, with his encaustic work, which should be quite exciting to check out. And he will be there for you to talk to tomorrow evening at Riversea Gallery on Commercial. Thanks.
Thank you very
much.
Good
to see you. Okay, and I do have a little bit of the Tomasian Trio with Maggie Kitson. They're going to be playing tomorrow night at Sweet Basil's. And they play locally as much as possible, because they're one of our excellent groups. And I do want to give a shout out because Richard T. played also for the Seafood and Blues Festival in El Waco, which was really fun. I got to go to the Friday night. And Maggie Kitson was one of the six Northwest fabulous women blues artists. So have a listen, and thanks for being here, and then I'll let you know what else is going on in the area.
Is that so? Must be a Yankee. The tax man's taken all my dough and left me in my stately home, living on a sunny afternoon. And I can't sail my yacht, he's taken everything I've got. All I've got's this sunny afternoon. Save me, from this squeeze. I got a big fat mama trying to break me. Well, I love to live so pleasantly. Live this life of luxury, living on a sunny afternoon.
Well, I'm putting out the sunny afternoon part, because it still is summertime. See? So we might be getting some sun this weekend, I hear. It's a rumor. So we'll let the Tomasian Trio help us out with that.